The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
And we've made it to Friday. Welcome to the fifth college football weekend of the SEC season. I think it's number 8 overall. And we are delighted that you could drop by today. We have a lot to do. Guests, as usual, we go around and preview so many games, some other guests as well, including the athletic director at the University of Florida. He'll tell us where their program is. But let's begin with a couple of headlines. And I think they will help you get ready for the weekend. LSU has made the decision. T.J. Finley starts tomorrow night against South Carolina. Of course, Coach O wants to play both. Remember, Miles Brennan out for the game.
Had an outstanding team meeting at the beginning of the week. I told our team, T.J. and Max, we'll give them a shot. Both of them, we believe in them. I think both of them are going to be NFL quarterbacks. The team loved both of those guys. It was a very close battle, but at the end, we felt that TJ nudged Max just a little. I wish I could start too, but TJ's going to be the starter there. We're going to give him time to get his work done. I told Max I want to play him, but, you know, it all depends on the flow of the game. And right now, TJ is going to start, and Max is going to go in the game when available, and hope that they can play the same amount of reps. I don't know if that's going to happen. It all depends on the flow of the game.
Remember a week ago at this time, Nick Saban had tested positive for COVID, had no symptoms. Turned out to be wrong. He didn't have COVID. And now he has a cold, coughing. This all came out last night on his pregame radio show. He'll still be on the plane today as the Crimson Tide take off for Rocky Top. Get better, Coach. Come on, man. It's football season. Can't have a cold. By the way, Big Ten's starting tonight, a couple hours away, and they will deem any football game canceled by COVID as a no contest. We're so happy to hear that. Are you ready for the first Big Ten game of the year tonight? Illinois is involved. That should be all the more reason to cancel all plans. What about the SEC? Well, it begins tomorrow right here at Auburn. At Ole Miss, I would say that's a big game for Auburn. They are a slight favorite over Ole Miss, which is having COVID issues. Best game of the day, or is it? Alabama and Tennessee. Kentucky, Mizzou at 4. Best game of the day, maybe the last game of the day. That's South Carolina at LSU. A fairly light schedule because of some rearranging of the schedule. And we will talk about all of that this afternoon, and a number of guests will also drop by, as well as your phone call. Scott Strickland, what's going on at Florida? He'll tell us in a few minutes. Stinch, he'll be on the call for Missouri and Kentucky. Joe Tess is back after 2 weeks of boxing. I mean, he wasn't boxing. He was announcing the boxing. Ramon Foster, former Tennessee player. Roman Harper, former Alabama player. They'll try to convince us how important this rivalry is. Quint will join us, sideline reporter for South Carolina LSU. Kubik on the sideline for Auburn Ole Miss. Alyssa Lang will be here as well. And Chris Doering with his eagerly anticipated predictions. We mentioned your phone calls are always welcome here at 855-242-7285. So a lot of comments from our extraordinary conversation yesterday with Greg Byrne, revealing some of the complications, fairly serious, that he had with COVID. He's doing better, but we really appreciate Greg dropping by and giving us an update. Al starts it off for us in Alabama. Al, good afternoon. Welcome in. Al, you there? That's what I like, a fast start on the program. Let's go to Pat in Nashville. We'll try it again. Hey, Pat.
Hello?
Hey, Pat, go right ahead.
Hello?
This always makes me nervous when I can hear them and they can't hear us. that would tell me there could be a problem. Let's try again and see if the third time is the charm, and if it's not, then that would insinuate that we are having some issues here. Matt, let's try you in San Antonio.
Hey, how you doing today, my friend, Mr. Paul Fonball?
Matt saves the day. We don't have to go call the engineers.
You don't have
and
to try a third time with me, Paul.
Yeah,
you never have to do that.
You just saved us quite a bill here, Matt. Thank you.
I want to talk about something a little bit different before I talk about A&M. Paul, I got a question to ask you with my
Okay.
I got a feeling, Paul, Gus Malzahn and that coach at Texas, they're going to get, you are fired.
Hey, you know what's interesting? I don't know about that, but you know what's interesting, Matt? I was on a program yesterday morning in Arkansas. And,
okay.
Yeah, and do you know the level of confidence that the Razorbacks have that they are going to come into your house next week and beat the Aggies? Do you realize you're going down according to what they told me?
Well, I got a feeling it's just saying some sense. I got to say to Arkansas fans and Texas fans, I'm sorry, Arkansas fans, you haven't beaten us. We've beaten you for 8 years in a row, and it's going on 9 years in a row we're going to beat you. I'm sorry. Be for real, Paul. I've always been for real with you, Paul. I'm sorry, Arkansas fans. We own you guys. You're not going to beat us.
Okay, we'll talk about it next week. It's a week off. I just wanted to have some fun. Gary is up next. Gary, thanks. Good afternoon.
Thank you, Paul, for taking my call.
Thank you.
I want to run something by you. I'm looking at the remainder of Tennessee's football schedule, and I see only one possible win between now and the end of the season. That means we're going to have a 3-7 season. How's that going to set with the Tennessee Vol fans?
The remainder of the season is obviously Alabama, at Arkansas, A&M, Auburn, at Vanderbilt in Florida. So you're saying that the Thanksgiving weekend game against Vanderbilt is the only sure win.
No, I think that is correct.
You know what? If you are right, then Tennessee has some problems. Because
you got that right.
Yeah, that would be I'm stumbling here with my words because I was trying to say Philip Fulmer just gave Jeremy Pruitt a contract extension.
Well, he did. But it is a mess.
It's not a mess yet, but it's a mess in the it's a mess in the making.
Well, I'm hoping for the best, but again, I just don't see the one win between now and the end of the season.
Well, yeah, I mean, I understand where you're coming from. There are a lot of tricky games ahead, but some of those schools that you're talking about. Or one in particular, not in great shape either. But if that happens, if Tennessee goes 3-7, I would be very concerned about holding recruiting together and holding that program cohesively cemented to Jeremy Pruitt's back, because he would have a difficult time talking his way out of that one. Red Dog is up next. Good afternoon.
How many weeks is it till the SEC championship, Paul? I'm ready.
It would be 2 months from now.
Because we're a lock. I mean, who could beat us? I mean,
well, I tell you who could. Anyway, I mean, the way you ran your mouth last week, I didn't think the Seahawks could beat Georgia.
All over your face, you smeared all over your face.
Hey, Matt, you're a know-it-all. You know that? You ran your mouth. You got somebody's fist stuck down your throat, and now you're trying to talk your way out of it like you always do.
I'm not trying
your
to
team
talk
got,
out of
your
it.
Team got smacked. You got embarrassed, so shut up, okay? Do us all a favor. Let's take a break. We're going to talk to Scott Strickland in a minute, whose team could also be one of those who could end up beating the University of Georgia. That's the University of Florida. He's the athletic director down there, and he will be with us next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We welcome you back here early Friday afternoon, and really looking forward to talking to our next guest. He is Scott Strickland, the director of athletics at the University of Florida. Scott updated the many, many fans today in a video message about what has been going on, and we're certainly looking forward to hearing from him here. Scott, first of all, thanks for joining us. I know it's been a tough time, but we hope you're well.
We are, Paul, and I appreciate you having me on. I hope you're doing well.
We are. So Let's just talk about where your program is. It's been through a rather harrowing 2 weeks, and a lot of fans, I'm sure, are a little bit anxious. I know everyone is a little bit anxious about some of the comings and goings. So where are you right now?
Well, we're in a better spot than we were a week ago. You know, a week ago we paused our activity and announced, we had had a surge in the number of positive COVID cases. And we're better off from the standpoint of, you know, those have tapered and our numbers have gone way down as far as positive tests. We have some people still in isolation and quarantine, but, it looks like there are people who had symptoms are recovering from them, and looks like everyone's going to be okay, which is obviously your first concern anytime you have a situation like this. You know, make sure that people are healthy or can get healthy. And right now we are planning on returning to activity this coming Monday, which is October 26th, and we feel like we'll be able to do that relatively full strength. So. A week ago, we were still kind of seeing a lot of cases, and that has kind of, gotten to the point where the last few days we haven't had any positives among our players, which is certainly a positive.
So Scott, I think we're all clear on what you just got through saying. So Monday, practice begins, the facility's open, and get ready for a game. Would that be about the simplest way to put
it? Sorry for the overflow of word there, but yeah, we'll get back at it Monday. And
swimsuit, check. Sunscreen, check. Phone charger, check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
We anticipate we'll have a few players. Maybe a handful, less than five, that will still be in some kind of quarantine. But for the most part, the rest of the squad will be available and be getting ready for our game against Missouri on the 31st.
Scott, what struck a lot of people was simply that your program had done it really well by almost all accounts. And I know it's not easy to do in difficult times. And then this happened. I know you've done as much looking back and evaluating as possible, but where did it all begin? What happened?
Well, you're right, Paul. We went through about an 11-week period from July until the beginning of October where we were seeing fewer than a single case a week. And then within, a 7-day period, we had, well over 20. And we do think a lot of it stems from our last road trip, it was our second trip. We made a trip to Oxford for the first game and came back, and that went well. We didn't have any ramifications from a COVID standpoint, but then we went to College Station 2 weeks later, and we are still kind of doing the forensics on that trip, but when you put in a plane ride, bus rides, hotel arrangements, a visiting team locker room, and for fans who don't, who've never really gone back into these stadiums, most home team locker rooms are really nice and spacious, and there's room for guys to spread out. And for visiting team locker rooms, they're kind of Spartan, and the one at A&M is actually one of the nicer ones, but there's still not a lot of space in there. And so, we probably are going to have to look at how we do things from a travel standpoint, because I do think. On our campus, with the protocols we have in place, we've had a lot of practice at it now for several months. We feel pretty good about the ability to create a safe and healthy environment. But the introduction of travel in this case, and obviously we had one where, as I mentioned, where it didn't bother us at all. But in this case, something occurred, and we think we had some individuals get on that flight who had tested negative the day before through the SEC. Protocol testing program, but they got in that flight and they had symptoms that they thought were probably due to allergies, and subsequently they tested positive for COVID on the back end of that trip, and we suspect that they just weren't aware enough of what the symptoms were and what to look for, which is really a huge message, I think, for your listeners, for our program, for really anyone out there as we try to manage through this COVID environment, is we really have to pay attention to our own bodies and not just assume, because it's getting into the fall, into allergy season, into flu season, that a sniffle is just part of a cold. We have to be really cognizant to think about what else could this be. And part of our theory is that we had a couple individuals not being as alert to what those symptoms might be, in this case being COVID.
Scott, the second part of this, of course, is Dan Mullen testing positive. How is he doing?
He's doing well. I actually talked to Dan today, and he's near the end of his isolation, and he reported to me today that he was no longer having symptoms and felt like he was on his way to recovery.
Which brings me to one of the most talked about comments that he has made, and everyone knows where I'm going here, and those were his comments after the game. I know you addressed them, and I'm sure you would probably like to put it to bed, but I am curious, though, because so many people, maybe not in Florida, who know Dan well, but around the country, who just saw the headline and overreacted or reacted, however you want to characterize, to his comments. Can you just address that before we move on?
Well, you know, Dan Mullen is a really good football coach, and not just, he's really good at the X's and O's, and it's been documented that, you know, he's a quarterback whisperer. He really understands offense. He's won at two different schools in our league, in the toughest league there is. He's been a part of national championship team. He is really good at what he does. He's also a competitor, and sometimes, pre or post competitive situation, not just Dan, but any coach, sometimes, will veer into territory that's really not part of coaching a football team. And Dan and I have had this conversation, and I understand that we all desire to get back to normal. Unfortunately, we're not in a situation where we can do that just now. We're able to play football games, but obviously it's not normal. And there's a lot of things that we're going to have to pivot and be ready to be flexible on. And I think this is a situation where, Dan was talking about what he would like to see happen, understanding that we're really not in a situation to allow that to happen. And there was no, absolutely zero cause and effect from his comment and what happened in our program. It was coincidental that they kind of both lined up within a few days of each other, which is unfortunate. But the fact of the matter is we put a lot of time, effort, and attention into creating as safe an environment as possible for our student athletes and for our staff and for our fans who come to our games on a limited number. And that will be, has been, and will continue to be our priority as we go through this COVID situation.
You probably have answered that in some ways, but are you going to remain at the same level of capacity the rest of the season?
Yeah, well, I can't tell the future, and I think that's one thing we've all learned on this is you don't know what's coming next, but we are going to continue to follow the guidelines from University of Florida and our campus. Those guidelines, in large part, are crafted by our friends at UF Health, who I mentioned this last week, that this is a state of 21 million people, and the number one rated hospital in this state is located a mile from Ben Hill Griffin Stadium. That's UF Health. And they have been unbelievable at helping us put our protocols together, and we are going to follow their direction as far as what's allowable. And right now on our campus, we have if you're anywhere, you need to practice social distancing. And so we're going to continue to do that at our sporting events, and it's going to limit what we do. I don't see that changing anytime soon. It will change eventually because we'll be on the other side of this. I don't expect it to happen this year, though.
Scott, you're not just the athletic director at Florida. You're part of the college football playoff. You're one of the most influential people that sits in chairs like yours in the SEC. So I am curious what you think about the bigger picture of college football right now. We have the Big Ten starting, the Pac-12 next week. Just overall, we're halfway through the season, not quite with the SEC, but how would you characterize what has happened so far and to the success of it?
You know, one of the things that, struck me as we were going through the summer months trying to determine if there was a path for competition to occur this fall, and when I say we, I'm talking about the other schools in the SEC, certainly Commissioner Sankey and his leadership. And as we were talking, as we go through that process and talk to our student athletes, they had a desire to get back to competition. And as college administrators, our job is to provide athletic competition opportunities in as safe environment as possible. And so the question wasn't, should we do this? The question is, can we do it safely? And if we can do it safely, we need to try to figure it out. And, you know, Commissioner Sankey has received a lot of accolades, deservedly so, because he has done a phenomenal job of leading us during this time to a place where we could have athletic competition for our young people, and not just football players. Volleyball started, soccer, and we got tennis going on, and golf, and all that is very, very encouraging. However, just like I was talking about with limited fans in the stands, it's not going to be normal, and we're going to have, rightfully so, some periods of time where we have to hit pause, like our football team, unfortunately, has had to do, because that is what the health guidance is telling us to do. But when we have things in a situation where it makes sense and it's practical, and we have the blessing of our medical professionals, I think it's appropriate for us to continue to play. I think for the, you know, we're worried about the physical well-being of our students. We're also worried about the mental well-being. And I think competing and having the opportunity to go out there and represent the University of Florida or whatever school these young people are at is really important. And I feel like the ability to be able to do it in a COVID environment is not easy. It's not normal. But we should also take some pride in the fact that our young people are out there getting the opportunity to go and compete.
Fantastic conversation. Glad things are slowly returning to a sense of normalcy. Scott, many thanks for coming on. It's always great to hear from you.
Thanks so much, Paul. Take care.
You bet. Scott Strickland, the athletic director at the University of Florida. Football team returns Monday, he said. We will take a break. A lot to do. We have a lot going on here this afternoon. We'll bounce around very quickly, beginning now to many of the spots where the big games are.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We'll also get your phone calls in here as well.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we welcome you back. And we have plenty of guests about to start landing here. So let's start with that. Let's start our phone call segment back with Al. Al, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Paul. How you doing, buddy?
I am doing well. Thank you.
Good, good. Wanted to call and discuss Coach Miles on and Coach Marsh. You know, when I was a kid, Shug Jordan was down at Auburn, and they played as a team. They didn't always win, but they played as a team. And they had discipline on that ball team. And if Pat Sullivan and one of his backs or receivers had gotten into it like they did on the sideline last Saturday, I feel sure that Coach Jordan would have put their butts on the dang bench somewhere and told them to sit down and shut the hell up.
We're talking now, about the Knicks conversation?
If there's not, sorry?
We're talking about the confrontation between Knicks?
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. Now then, I played ball from the time I was in second grade all the way through 12th grade in high school. Of course, I didn't get to go play no college ball nowhere, but I started every year, both ways. And there was one thing that we had the whole time, and that was discipline. And we didn't dare fight with one another in a huddle or on the sideline. And, you know, I was checking the other day, looking at the records of different schools. Liberty University, you know, where Hugh Freeze is. You know, I was looking at his record. You know, I really think if they can't control, if Coach Malzahn and them cannot control their ball players any better than that, then maybe we need to bring him back to the SEC where he can at least have some discipline on the sideline and on the field. And, you know, it's I bleed blue and orange, always have my whole life. I mean, I've took ribbons back in the 70s when Auburn was getting it handed to them just about every week. But I guarantee you this, I'll go to my grave wearing blue and orange. And this, what we've got right now in Auburn is not what Auburn tradition is made out of. It is not. And there's a lot of folks that did not go to school at Auburn that helped support that system down there, and me being one of them. But, you know, I just I think that they've got to have more discipline than what they're doing right now. I mean, it's shameful to see that. And the quarterback is supposed to be the leader, you know, of course, of the offense and stuff, just like the catcher is, you know, basically the leader of a baseball team. But, you know, it's just heartbreaking to see them do that kind of mess on their own sideline. And, you know, I've had problems with quarterbacks in the past, and I'm sure if you were to ask them, they would tell you the same thing. But, you know, we worked our differences out after the ball game, and, you know, we got them straight in the next game. But we had discipline, and I am a firm believer in it. And right now, I really don't think that either one, Coach Morris or Coach Malzahn, either one, has the discipline on that football team that they should have playing at that level.
Hey, thank you very much for the call. I do appreciate it, Al. Eddie is in Florida, and you are next up.
Hey, Paul, how you doing, brother?
Eddie, we're doing great.
Roll damn tide. Hey, Paul, it's been I've been sent back this week, Paul, and it's been great, Paul. It's been great to hear the fans of Arkansas calling, Paul. I love it, Paul. I love their passion. I just hope the best for Coach Pittman and all the Arkansas fans, Paul. But what's been screwing it up, Paul, is these dadgum Auburn fans. Are you kidding me, Paul? What are all these Auburn fans calling? Paul, they haven't done anything. I'm from Alabama, Paul. Get this, Paul. Auburn fans think they're supposed to be as good as Alabama every year, Paul. If you're from the state, that's all you hear, all right? They suck, Paul. They suck. They absolutely suck. It's only one team in Alabama, and Auburn fans, you're not even on the same level as Roll Tide. So quit calling Paul Feinbaum show complaining about the coach and your players. You have none.
Hey,
okay?
Eddie.
You don't even recruit in the top 20.
Quit Eddie, thank you very much. Let me get a response to that. Iman?
you got to love it. I mean, Bama fans pay attention when Auburn's struggling as tough as they are, and you see the Auburn fans coming apart at the seams. I'm talking about Al and Charles from Real Town and all. We got to do something. We got to do it now. We got to fix it. We got to fix it. I'm just trembling in my shoes. Who cares? It's 2020. Just be glad you got a game. That's what I thought we was going into this season. And I tell you, the criticism has gone through the roof. I think there's more criticism this year than any other year. And I just don't get it. But yesterday, listening to Pat Forty, he brought up something that I had not heard before, and it just kind of went under the radar with you. And did you hear him say that Texas A&M got caught practicing at a church during the COVID when everything was shut down?
I believe I did, yeah.
What are the ramifications of something like that? I thought we was all under some kind of gentleman's rule, but we knew that Jimbo Fisher was long before he ever got to A&M. Is he really that much of a...
First of all, I mean, control yourself, okay?
Well, I am. I thought that was very controlled.
Yeah, well, maybe not. Anyway, we have to go to a break. We have a lot to do on the program. I don't know the answer because I'm not really sure if that's an allegation. That's something they've agreed on. I'm not really certain of that. We are coming back after this. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we welcome you back. Friday afternoon, Mr. B in Tennessee. Go right ahead. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Paul.
Hey there.
TGIF, right?
You got it.
Okay. I'm the one, if you remember, whose daughter works in the lab at a local hospital, was trying to get the remedy on the fans.
Oh, yeah, I sure do.
Yeah, well, that's all back burner now, of course, because of COVID. But what's bothering me, Paul, I'm an 80-year-old man. I've been a Tennessee fan since I was 12 years old when I saw my first game down there. It was Kentucky-Tennessee after Thanksgiving. And I don't know. I'm trying to rack my brain as what is the problem. I think it runs deeper than just the team, Paul.
So as best you could guess, where would you diagnose the issue? Where is it?
Well, I go back to the days of Tom Beilum, Andy Holt,
yeah,
Doug Dickey.
I remember those guys.
Yeah. And that doesn't seem like it's there anymore. And if we don't have any support from that end, we might as well quit fooling with it on the field, my opinion. But, you know, I'm a Tennessee fan first and an SEC fan second. If Tennessee can't win it, I want an SEC team to win it. But, you know, it's just getting frustrating. It really is. But, I guess I'm just an old man then.
Well, no, I mean, I think you start to see certain themes develop, and when you lose like Tennessee did last week to Kentucky, and you and I know as Tennesseans, that's not supposed to happen.
That hurts.
I mean, Tennessee 2 years ago beat the best Kentucky team in 40 years.
Yeah, and I don't know. But I still love the football, and we love your show. My wife and I, we sometimes sit down here in the afternoon, have a cup of wine.
Where in Tennessee do you live?
Upper East Tennessee, the Tri-Cities area.
Know it well. Well, listen, it's best to your wife. You guys keep hanging in there. You sound like you're doing pretty well.
Well, we'll keep the faith, buddy.
I'm with you.
You've got an excellent show. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise, buddy. Okay?
Hey, it's really great to hear from you. Thank you very much, Mr. B. Always enjoy it. Chris is up next in North Carolina. Hey, Chris.
Good afternoon, Mr. Feinbaum.
Hey there.
When the history is written of the COVID times, I think one of the things that's going to be written is how important Commissioner Sankey and SEC in not folding but standing strong so we could work through this and have some college football, which I think has a lot to do with our mental health and just who we are as a nation. What's your thoughts on that?
I don't think there's any question that he played an integral role. And I've read so many articles about it. And, you know, he tried to find a route. And you understand this. He just didn't. Others just said we can't do it, and here's why. He acknowledged the problem, which I think in public life, Judge, you understand it. I think you have to be honest. You can't mislead or lie or be disingenuous. You have to shoot straight, and he did.
Right. Yeah, he did. It's impressive. I got a little couple of updates for you. So I talked to Trooper Zachary Clay and Trooper Clint Clay and Trooper Bumgardner, and we've got Jeff ready. If you can get him in our jurisdiction, I've got the State Patrol, as you suggested, ready. So we're good if Jeff from Ohio State.
Yeah, I think we need to make sure Jeff, when he comes down to the South, is given a good Southern welcome.
He will be. And one more thing, I booked my flight to Chicago to go to South Bend. I still can't get a ticket. I am willing to wear my judge's robe and wear a Paul Feinbaum hat if you can get me into the game.
Hey, I will make some calls, and Judge, you show up,
we'll
you'll get in.
We can do. We see what we can do. I'm serious. I got it all arranged. Got it ready. But I've got a
few friends at the Vatican. We'll ask the big guy to see if he can help you. Hey, thanks. Landon in South Carolina. Hello, Landon.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
We're doing great. Thank you for the call.
I wanted to ask you a quick question.
Sure.
What are your picks for the SEC championship game 5 weeks from now?
I went with Georgia and Alabama before the season, and I'm not going to change that now.
Do you think if Tennessee beats Bama this weekend, it'll knock Bama out?
What we're trying to do here is have a real conversation. Can you give me a reason why Tennessee is going to beat Alabama?
Could you give me any reason why South Carolina beat Georgia 3 years ago?
Well, the game was last year. No, I can't. I was actually down there that weekend and didn't think they had any chance at all. That's a fair point.
I understand upsets happen, you know?
They do. Not with Alabama, though.
All righty, Paul. You have a great day.
Okay. I'm going to try. Tell you what, we did not. That was a conversation where we did not economize on words there, did we? Let's go to Arkansas. Tristian is up next. Hey, Tristian, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, I just want to ask you a couple questions about Sam Pittman. Do you think Arkansas this year might be the second or third best team in the West already under Sam Pittman in year number one?
I think with a win against Texas A&M, you could make that claim. I would like to see what happens next weekend. I think that is a really critical game. Tristian, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. Unfortunately, we have to go to a break here. A lot to do on the program. Many more guests will be lined up here. We hope you will stick around, and we will see you in just a moment. Joe Tessitore is next.